Welcome to the final game of the 2013 NFL regular season. Welcome to Sunday Night Football. Orton comes right back to Murray, and Murray fumbles the football, and I think the Eagles have it. Murray was hit, fumbled the football, and the Eagles have it. Foles holds it, looks, fires, complete, touchdown! Shady McCoy, his 11th of the season, his second as a receiver. Foles on first down, fakes to McCoy. He rolls, he's looking, he is firing deep down the far side. Brent Celek made a tremendous catch. Orton in the gun again. He's back. He puts it in the air. And it is intercepted by the Eagles. Michael Kendricks. He picks it off. Cole takes the snap. He gives it to Brown. Tries to turn the corner. Cuts back at the five. He's in. Touchdown. Bryce Brown. Orton. He's back again. He looks right. He fires. And it's intercepted. It's intercepted. It is intercepted by the Eagles. What a play by Brandon Boykin, his sixth of the season. The seconds have elapsed, and the Eagles have beaten the Dallas Cowboys 24-22.
Welcome in, everybody. Dave Spadaro with you here at the NovaCare Complex, and the Eagles getting ready for the playoffs. Saturday night, the New Orleans Saints come to town. The wild card weekend is going to be in primetime here in Philadelphia. It's Eagles Live. We've got a full show for you, a full week for you, as we revel in the glory of beating the Dallas Cowboys to clinch the NFC East title. The Eagles winning this game and winning the seventh NFC East title in the Jeffrey Lurie era. The Eagles heading back to the playoffs for the first time since 2010. And what a thriller it was last night in Arlington, Texas, right down to the wire. Cowboys really coming to play against the Eagles. A great job by the Dallas front, pressuring Nick Foles. Five quarterback sacks, limiting the Eagles' offense. And Kyle Orton delivering just about as we expected him to deliver, efficient, throwing the football a lot to the tight end. Jason Witten, a big night. Dez Bryant, a big night. Brent Celek, the big night here. Should have been a penalty right there. One of several that I did not feel were called against the Dallas Cowboys, who somehow escaped the game with just one penalty. But at the end of the day, the Cowboys at home watching the playoffs, the Eagles moving on, and we take a look at the total team stats. And not the Eagles' A game, no question about it. Philadelphia struggling in several areas. You see the penalties. You see the fact that the Eagles in the passing game not nearly as explosive as they've been this season. But Eagles showing their guts, showing their mettle, showing their ability to hold on at the end and make the big play defensively. They force three turnovers from the Cowboys, and that proves to be the difference in this game as the Eagles win it 24-22 and win the NFC East, and with that, a date with New Orleans on Saturday night. We'll get you some ticket information in just a moment. Let's get you caught up with some of the reaction in Philadelphia from the rest of the professional sports community, making sure to send out their congratulations from the Phillies, from the Flyers, from the 76ers, and from the Philadelphia Union, all saying congratulations, Eagles. Hey, guys, thanks very much. Great to get this thing going here and heading into the new year in the playoffs. Hopefully, great success for every team in Philadelphia in 2014. How about some of the, well, more famous Eagles fans? Chelsea Clinton? Come on! Let's get her on Celebrity Corner. Jimmy Kramer. Canal. My man. Mike Trout. Fly, Eagles, fly. You got to believe that, baby. And then the experts around the country really recognizing what this win means for the Eagles organization. Couple of those experts have a little vested interest here. Of course, Brian Dawkins and Donovan McNabb, along with Kevin Nagandi, a huge Philadelphia Eagles fan. who works at ESPN. And the players certainly enjoying this as well. LeSean McCoy, DeSean Jackson, Trent Cole, Brandon Boykin. How about Brandon Boykin? Another huge play for him. They all get on Twitter almost immediately. And then in the locker room, look at some of these pictures. And this is really the immediate aftermath of the victory. Posing for pictures, remembering this moment. It is all smiles in the Eagles locker room. I can tell you, not too long after that, everybody looked straight ahead at the New Orleans Saints. And that's where we focus on. But what a great scene for the Eagles at AT&T Stadium on Sunday night. The final game of the 2013 regular season. And what a way to end it. The crowd that watched that game, the seventh highest Sunday night game in NBC history. Lots of Eagles fans in attendance, and they all enjoyed the angst, the agita, the tension, and ultimately the victory for the Philadelphia Eagles over the Dallas Cowboys. So the Eagles move on, and they move on looking at the New Orleans Saints. Let's get you caught up on the headlines of the day here as we turn the page very quickly. I know we're going to talk about the win over the Cowboys, but I know that upstairs the coaches have already gone through that game, and they're full bore into the Saints. Here are today's headlines for you. Eagles winning their NFC East title, the first since 2010. A mark of a great organization. You bounce back quickly from the down times, and the Eagles have certainly done that. Two bad years, and the Eagles are right back in the playoffs. And those playoffs start for the Eagles on Saturday night. 8:10 is the start time. The kickoff on NBC at Lincoln Financial Field. Playoff tickets to the general public on sale Tuesday at noon. Ticketmaster.com. Make sure you get on that quickly. The limit is 4 tickets per order. So they will go very quickly. Chip Kelly speaking at 1 o'clock, and we've got Eagles Live for you all the way through Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday this week at noon. And obviously, we are excited. We know you are excited. And hey, why not start this thing the right way, the Spud Cam way? Going back to Dallas to the stadium that we all just don't like very much. A great, great environment for the Eagles on Sunday night.
Give me your best. I'm going to give you my best. Give me your best tonight. Believe on the man next to you. Give it all up. We don't leave here without the dog tonight.
Let's go.
We don't leave Dallas without the dog tonight.
Let's go.
Bob Costas getting ready to go.
Turn to Eagles Live. We talk about an offense that struggled last night. No question about the Cowboys with their four-man pressure getting to Foles 5 times. LeSean McCoy had his 131 yards, but difficult game for the Eagles, and Philadelphia deserves a lot of credit here. Played a defense that, again, played its butt off against the Philadelphia Eagles. When we return to Eagles Live, it's time to talk about the Eagles offense. We'll be back in just a moment.
Peppermint mocha for you and hot cocoa for you.
You've outdone yourself again.
The Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Show off.
Jealous?
Maybe.
Pick up peppermint mocha and hot cocoa flavored K-Cup packs only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
Every month, Mr. Johnson goes to the drugstore and connects with a pharmacist to renew his arthritis medication, which means he can keep up with his granddaughter at her wedding. When older Pennsylvanians make the most of programs supported by the Pennsylvania Lottery, like prescription drug programs, we all benefit. Learn more at PALottery.com. The Pennsylvania Lottery benefits older Pennsylvanians every day.
Accidentally locked my keys in my truck while stopping at Dunkin' Donuts. So now I'm sitting in the bed of my truck, sipping a latte and smiling. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Enjoy a delicious latte the next time you stop at Dunkin'. Share your story. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Well, when the Eagles win, you win. Dunkin' Donuts, all you have to do is have your app. And if you are in the local Philadelphia area and you've got a participating Dunkin' Donuts that you can get to, make sure you do it today. Get yourself a free medium coffee, hot, or the 24-ounce iced coffee the day after an Eagles win. That's today. So when the Eagles win, you win. Thanks to our friends at Dunkin' Donuts. Just, if you haven't done so, download that Dunkin' Donuts mobile app and receive your free drink today. Eagles offense, so high-flying, so many records this year. Tough sledding at AT&T Stadium last night. The Cowboys defense playing very well. Eagles, though, establishing some big-time records in the process. LeSean McCoy leading the way, making his name very indelible atop the list of the Eagles record books. But as a team, most points, most yards, most touchdowns, gross passing yards in a season. And then the Eagles also becoming the second team in NFL history to post 4,000-plus passing yards and 2,400 rushing yards in a single season. So the Eagles doing it a lot and all season long, explosive plays. They set the record for most explosive plays, that's 20 plays or more, in a season, surpassing the mark set by the 2001 St. Louis Rams. And but last night was tough, and Chip Kelly expected it to be tough. And the Cowboys, again, even though they're numbers said they weren't very good. In fact, they were the worst defense in the league. They played a very, very strong, physical, solid game against the Eagles, and Chip Kelly talked about it after the game.
I told those guys, I thought the first time I met them that it was a special group. You know, I can't tell you how much they've made this transition for me coming from college to the pros. It was those guys. Everything we asked them to do as a staff from the first day we got there on April 1st with them, till tonight, you know, they've bought in, and it's an awesome feeling when you can work as hard as they've worked and to see it pay off, and the results are, you know, you're 10-6 and you're division champs, and it's real credit to those guys. They didn't flinch. That was a interesting fourth quarter, to say the least, but you know, this group just keeps battling, and they just found a way, and you know, we also told them that it's the same thing we say after every game. It's one down, one to go. You know, we're going to play on Saturday, and we got to get ready. We got a quick week. We got to turn around and get ready to play a real good Saints team. So it was huge, you know, and you're trying to do both. You know, we were trying to score in that situation, obviously, but if you can also work the clock a little bit, it was beneficial to us. And, you know, we could sense, I think we feel like we're built for that in terms of how our conditioning, and, you know, we could sense they were wearing down a little bit. And then I thought our guys, you know, that last drive offensively, and that's what I think the key was, you know, special teams contributed at the end. That last drive offensively contributed. Our defense, you know, came up big, you know, on the two-point stop and the other fourth down stop. So it was just one of those games. Yeah, you're always concerned when your quarterback gets hit. You know, a lot of times it was in a four-man rush, and they've got some guys, you know, Hatcher and Ware, you know, that can cause some problems in there. Two outstanding players. And but I will give Nick credit in terms of, you know, he did. There was a time there where we weren't really settled, but it didn't rattle him, and you know, he made the plays when we had to make the plays. you know, a lot of the guys that were here, we did change out a lot of the roster, but there's a lot of guys that were here, they were 4-12 last year. You know, and I didn't listen to them talk. It didn't end well for them. You know, they had that streak at the end of the year where they still had a taste in their mouth and they wanted to change it. And that's why all the credit goes to them that they did. And they didn't change it by talking about it or saying it. And you know, it's not that type of team. It's a type of team that just goes out and works on a daily basis. And, you know, we still practice. And, you know, we're not walking through things. We're getting after it in practice. And these guys do that. And that's a credit to them. And the good thing is I think they still got a lot of football left in them. So we got to get ready to play a real good Saints team this Saturday coming in.
So in a big moment, Nick Foles, 17 of 26, 263 yards, 2 touchdowns, another outstanding quarterback rating. He leads the NFL in passer rating, touchdown percentage, yards per attempt, and no Pro Bowl love for Nick Foles. And he talked about his performance after the game.
I mean, when you play quarterback, I've always believed, you know, since I played this as a kid, you know, that's why I play this. You know, in times of, you know, adversity, they're going to look to the quarterback to see how he's reacting. And, you know, there's going to be adversity in games. You know, we overcame it today as a team. And, you know, it was an exciting game to win. I had a blast out there. Defense was coming up big. Special teams played a really good ball. And, you know, offense, we were able to put some points on the board. So, you know, just in those times of adversity, the game's not over. There's still time on the clock. That's how I've always looked at it. I'm going to play till that clock says zero, and I'm going to play as hard as I can, and I'm not going to let one play unravel me or anything. You know, there's going to be things that happen, but, you know, you got to keep playing. I mean, they played a great game. You know, they played a great game. Kyle Orton stepped in and did a great job for them, and their defense played some hard football, but we were able to put some points on the board and made some big plays as a team. I mean, it's exciting. It just shows you that, you know, I think Chip's done a great job. The coaching staff's done a great job. The players have done a great job of really buying in. And, you know, when adversity happens throughout games, I know I've talked about before, guys really stay together. We lean on each other. You know, if, you know, we go 3-and-out or something, defense is right there to say, we got you. I fumble the ball. First thing the defense says, D'Amico says, you know, we got you. We got you. And that's what a team is. It's about having each other's backs and playing for each other. You know, until the whistle blows. And, you know, when you're playing for each other, you know, you can get through those adverse times. And I've definitely watched Drew since I was younger. You grew up in Westlake, you know who Drew Brees is. And he had a tremendous career at Westlake, at Purdue. And, you know, in the NFL, he's a role model to so many. And I've looked up to him. You know, I'm 10 years younger than him. He's done a tremendous job. And, you know, there is that to it, but it's like zoning stuff out. You know, you zone out everything. I'm focusing on their defense.
And how about Nick Foles' season? 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That's the best touchdown interception ratio in NFL history. Wow. Third best single season quarterback rating in NFL history. And after 2 years, he's the all-time leader in franchise history in quarterback rating and in completion percentage. Let's take a look at the top performers from this game on Sunday night. Nick Foles, LeSean McCoy, and Brent Celek. Really just a workmanlike effort from the Eagles offense. We go into the locker room now post-game. Jason Kelce leads the way.
We're happy that we won the NFC East, but we still have corrections that need to be made, and obviously we still want to win the game next week.
It's a great feeling. You know, I was just telling a couple guys out there, like, you know, it's been some years since we've been in the playoffs. So, you know, we had a great long run this year, a lot of ups and downs. You know, a lot of people counting us out. We're just happy and excited about the opportunity. We're able to, you know, keep playing. You know, everybody was in here before the game, like, you know, we're not ready to go home yet. And we made the statement, you know, the Cowboys fought a great game to the end. And we're just happy to get out of here with a win.
Very special, you know. This is one of the things that we set out to do at the beginning of the year. You know, everybody on the team had a lot of faith in each other. And, you know, we stuck together through some hard spots and we were able to pull it out.
We knew we had the pieces. The only thing that we had to do was protect the football, and we've done that a lot better than we have in years. And that's the key to winning games is winning the turnover battle, and that's what we've been doing. That's why we stay in games, and that's the key. So all the bad seasons that we've had, the two in a row that we had, all of those were directly correlated with the turnovers. Mm-hmm. And we were ranked 10th in offense, and we were 32nd in turnovers. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, so with that being said, we knew what it was.
Man, it's an unbelievable feeling. I think when we lost to the Giants that one time, and then to see the team kind of turn it around and be here is a heck of an accomplishment. We all stuck with it, and it's going to be a lot of fun next week.
I mean, it's credit to our team. You know, we didn't start off the way we wanted, but, you know, the way we work in practice, you know things are going to start happening. And just, you know, our team bounces back, you know, through adversity. You know, I've had my ups and downs, but I try to play consistent, you know, through the latter part of the year. And I think our team is, you know, catching the momentum at the right time. Whenever things got tough tonight, you know, we didn't you know, bat an eyelash. And, you know, we're looking forward to the game against the Saints.
All right, so the defense comes up with three takeaways in Sunday night's win. In the Eagles, 10 wins plus 18 in the turnover category. When we return to Eagles Live, we talk about the D. Some bumps along the way, but boy, what an improvement for this defense in 2013. Eagles Live returns. More phone calls. We'll get to them in a bit. Chip Kelly coming up at 1 o'clock as well. We'll be back in just a moment.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
That dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There will be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Well, guys, it's time to order your division championship merchandise. Do it tomorrow, starting tomorrow at 12:31. At all Eagles Pro Shop locations and online here at PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Great-looking hats, great-looking T-shirts. We've got one right here for you. NFL Division Champions, NFC East. There you go. First one since 2010. Well-deserved by this Philadelphia Eagles team that started the season with such a huge win in Washington, then 1-3, 3-5, and what a turnaround in the 7-win out of 8 games second half of the season. Terrific job by the Eagles. And defense, really a huge part of things. Bill Davis getting his group together and putting it in a very neat order for the Eagles. Lots of takeaways, lots of stops. And at the very end, Brandon Boykin making another huge play like he did against the Redskins. He did it as well against the Cowboys. And Chip Kelly pleased with how number 22 stepped up at just the right time.
You watch how hard he works in when we're in training sessions and his attention to detail and all of those things, and I think it's, the guy it pays off. He made the play in the Redskins game. He made this play, so it's it seems like he comes up at a good time, which is a good thing for us. So, you know, the play Connor Barwin made on fourth down when they went for it, I thought was a huge play for us. Then our offense goes on the field and really puts a drive together, you know, to get us, you know, back up, and then they go down and score, and you know. Got to make a play. Kerry makes a huge play on the 2-point play. you know, to put us up. But then we got to run the clock out, you know, didn't get it converted on 3rd and 5, but got some time off the clock. And then I thought Donnie's punt was huge, you know, gave us some breathing room there. And that's why it was everybody contributed, you know, and that's a one thing about this team is it's a team, and everybody, you know, when you get your opportunity to make a play, the guys made plays. So.
It's a huge
statistic, whether it's in college or pros, and we were very, very good at it when I was at Oregon, and it's the reason we won so many games is that our defense was very opportunistic, but our offense did a very, very good job of taking care of the football, and they did it again today besides the one. You know, Nick got sacked and lost it, but you know, I think if you look at the numbers and they're really striking. If you look at our 10 wins and what our plus-minus ratio is, and then our 6 losses, you know, you can directly look at it. But I think those two stats, the turnover takeaway stat and then the explosive play stat, and I think if you can do both, and I think we do that offensively. I know we'll get yelled at. People will talk about the time of possession deal again, but I think those two stats are a little bit more important than that one.
Well, speaking of Brandon Boykin, right place at the right time, big playmaker for the Eagles. Our Ike Reese breaks down Boykin's success in our Beneath the Surface feature, brought to you by Microsoft, the official tablet of the NFL. Ike Reese on number 22. The kid just makes plays from the cornerback position.
Let's take a look at the game-winning interception by Eagles defensive back Brandon Boykin, who's matched up outside here on Miles Austin. But the play starts in here. Billy Davis decides he's going to give Cal Orton a different look, give him a little bit of pressure, not allow him to sit back there. So what he does is he has Connor Barwin, all his linebackers, Connor Barwin, he has D'Amico Ryans, Michael Kendricks, all lined up in these gaps, appearing to get pressure here on the inside. Cal Orton reads this. He decides to escape a little bit to his right here, where he's going to try to get the ball out here to Miles Austin. What I want you to look at on this play is, as we let it run a little bit, you're gonna see how Brandon Boykin, his technique on Miles Austin, really is shading him to the outside. He knows that he has extra help from a defender who isn't coming, who was lined up in the gap. Michael Kendricks is back here as an extra defender for anybody over the middle. Cal Orton sees this, he sees color on the inside. He tries to put this ball on the back shoulder of Miles Austin. Brandon Boykin allowing Miles Austin to get to the inside because his proper leverage is outside where he's supposed to be. He reads this, and instead of going up to bat the ball down for a pass defense, he's looking to make a game-winning play here. Great interception by Brandon Boykin there, but you need all 11 players executing this defense. Great job by Billy Davis in that play call.
Well, as you might expect, Brandon Boykin ready to go before the game, and during the game he was absolutely spectacular. Big breakup down the field on a jump ball throw to Dez Bryant. A mistake here and there on the punt, reaching in and getting called for that unsportsmanlike penalty. That was not a smart play. But Brandon Boykin coming up, look at this play right here. Gets up, 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 and makes the play in the end zone to knock it away from Dez Bryant. That was a huge play for the Eagles defense, and Boykin, after the game in the locker room with our Chris McPherson, still very excited about that big play.
Final drive of the game. You're out there on the field. Take us through the play.
I mean, it was man covers, and I knew they were going to try to do something quick, either get to the sideline or do a slant. And, you know, as soon as I saw him break the slant, I tried to undercut it. And he really threw it kind of behind him, so it allowed me to kind of just slip in there. And I was trying to score until Connor told me to get down. I don't know what I was thinking, but it was good.
In the biggest moment of the season, what does it mean to come up with a play like that?
It's awesome, man. It's a blessing, you know, just continuing our season, doing the things that we've been doing the whole year to get to this point. You know, it's not going to change next week. You know, we got to get ready for this playoff game. It's going to be huge back at the link, so you know, our fans are going to enjoy it.
How special is it in your second year to be NFC East Division champions?
Awesome, man. I mean, you know, I really can't really fathom it right now. We're just in the moment. We're feeling good about it. We still got a lot of work to do, but it's an accomplishment, and you know, we still got some stuff to do.
What was Chip Kelly's words to you in the locker room?
He just told us to look up. He said at the beginning of the year, you know, we'll just look up at the end of the season to see where we are. And, you know, we've accomplished what we wanted to as far as NFC East champs. But like I said, there's still a lot more to go. We're still hungry for the next step, and, you know, we know what we got to do.
All right, take a look at these numbers. First 8 games versus last 8 games. Eagles doing their part, winning 7 of those last 8 games. That's how you finish the season. And the defensive numbers reflect great improvement. Points per game, totally different, and that's the bottom line. That's really kind of what it all matters here. But the Eagles, just a very, very nice job rebounding and coming up big at some big moment times last night. The Connor Barwin pass that he knocked down, the takeaways, three of them, all contributing to the Eagles' big win. And D'Amico Ryans, the man who's been the unquestioned leader of this Eagles team, this Eagles defense. Well, he felt the energy a long time ago when Chip Kelly arrived here, and he lived through that nightmarish 2012 season. To be where he is now, it's great. Still a lot of work to do, but boy, the feeling is very positive. Has it sunk in?
Oh, yeah, it has sunk in. It's a great accomplishment with this team. And, you know, for us, it's just huge. You know, for us coming together, it's a new beginning, new year, new staff, new players coming together. This is a great accomplishment for us. But for us, it's just the beginning. It was our ticket to get in. Now we're in. So we have a lot of more work to do.
We've talked all year. You felt this energy from the very first day, didn't you?
Oh, of course. Of course. You know, Coach Kelly and his staff is high energy from the get-go, high energy from the start, and it's been that way all throughout the season.
Talk about the defense being on the field fourth quarter and, again, how big it is to end it.
I mean, it was huge for us. You know, just standing there in the huddle and, you know, talking to the defensive guys, like, this is the game. The team, our team is counting on us to make a play to win this game for us. And fortunately, it was the first play of that drive. Borkin comes up with a huge interception to win us the game. And, you know, it's great being on a defense that rises to the occasion when we need it.
D'Amico, did it feel different than a regular season game?
Of course. I mean, it definitely had that big game feel to it. And, you know, these fans, they were loud. It was the environment here was very electric. And it was definitely a fun game to play in.
All right, take a look at some of the top performers from Sunday night. Michael Kendrick's monster game at the line of scrimmage. For him, 12 tackles, the interception, the forced fumble, one pass defense. D'Amico Ryans, as always, around the football. And Brandon Boykin coming up big, the play that he broke up down the field to Dez Bryant. And then, of course, what an interception to end it for the Eagles late in the game. Connor Barwin, always in the right place. And, you know, just such a sound, solid player. Doesn't talk a lot. Physical, versatile, loved it in the Eagles locker room.
Well, it's good. It's good. You know, we didn't think this was going to be any kind of rebuilding year. We knew we had the talent here. Congrats to, you know, the guys here. Congrats to the coaches, Chip. But, you know, we're not done. There's a lot more football to be played. Our goal is, you know, not necessarily just be a division champion, but, you know, be a Super Bowl champ.
We got the victory, and, you know, we still got work to do. You know, it's a great win. We did what we were supposed to do. Now we have to move on. It's playoff time, and the game's just that more intense.
I'm just happy that, you know, Boykin and I are, you know, able to be a big part of this team. And, you know, I'm grateful for the teammates that I got to help me get in the right position to do what we do, you know what I mean? And, coaches included. I mean, we're all in this together, and you know, all glory goes to the guy upstairs. So can't do this without him as well. And, you know, even you guys, we're all a team here. So, you know, it's good to be a part of this team. It's good to contribute as a second year guy.
It was a great feeling. You know, I've been in the past. I've been in this situation before, and you know, it's just a great feeling that we're, you know, we're back in the same spot again. You know, just, you know, we fought it out to the end. You know, it got a little ugly there, but, you know, we knew there's going to be bumps in the road. But, you know, we got to get past adversity, and that's what we did. We fought past it and kept at it and kept playing, and, you know, we came out on top.
We knew we were going to get, you know, all they had. We knew it was going to be a rough game, and it was exactly what we thought it was going to be, but we were able to, you know, finish it out. Boykin made a great play, and now we get to play another one.
It's just the way we practice ever since training camp, OTA. So, I mean, guys just know how to finish. Even in practice, we always holler first, second, third, and fourth quarter. And when it's fourth quarter, we know it's the clutch, and we got to step up.
All right, Dave Spadaro with you here. Eagles Live, the name of the show. Chip Kelly comes up in about a half an hour. He will address the media his day after press conference. Between now and then, got a lot to get to, including your phone calls. We want to know how the world of Eagles fans feel after the big win over the Dallas Cowboys. We'll take some phone calls on the other side, 215-339-6709, when Eagles Live returns.
Together we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
guaranteeing the day belongs to you. You make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
One more, let's get it, let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Chip Kelly comes up in just a moment. Hey, by the way, if you are not following us on Twitter at Eagles Shows, please do so. We've crossed the 3,000 follower threshold, and we'll have our announcement on Tuesday as to what piece of merchandise and to whom we will be giving it. Also, we encourage all of you fans to send us a video. Just hold up your camera wherever you are. Any Eagles pride you see, it can be on yourself, can be on somebody else. Little tweet or an Instagram, and with the hashtag Fly Eagles Fly. We want to compile these. We're going to be showing some of them at the end of today's show. Just from some of the scenes where you all enjoyed the Eagles-Cowboys game and then this week to come, and we will get them on the air. All right? So give us a chance and shoot us over 15 seconds of video. And we want to hear from Eagles fans around the world. Again, that's hashtag Fly Eagles Fly on Instagram and on Twitter. Let's get to some phone calls. Let's begin in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and talk to Shannon, who joins us. Hi, Shannon.
Big Dave, my brother from another mother. Talk to me, Big Dave. Come on, man. What a happy Eagles Monday. Oh, I want to first start out, Dave. We got to give some credit to some uncredited heroes. Trent Cole has been balling out this year. Special teams, 47-yard field goals are not automatic. The punter, Donnie Jones, my boy Connor Barwin. Just this team, man, that was a major team effort. Jason Avant came out yesterday and got a jump ball, Dave. What a great feeling, man. Team win. I hate to say I told you so, Dave, but I knew we were going to be here. And I'm not mad that we got the Saints coming up in the link. Talk to me, Dave.
Well, I think it's you're right that it's been a team effort, and I think that's been the way it's been all season. I really like what this team's all about. I like the fact that they step up in every phase, and, you know, let's have some fun in the playoffs.
Yeah. You know something that somebody said, and I agree with this, three things that you know about the Eagles when we get on the field. 9 times out of 10, we're going to be the best conditioned team when we come out in the field. Number two, we're going to be the most prepared. And number three, we're going to have the smarter coach. I think when you go into games like that, I think we have a big chance of winning. That's why I'm not scared of the Saints.
Well, I would hope that nobody's scared of the Saints. You are in the playoffs now. You're going to play very good football teams. The Eagles have to play a lot better on Saturday night than they did last night to beat the New Orleans Saints.
We got to play a lot better, but even though Nick didn't have the best game, he's still my quarterback. He's still the future of the
Eagles. I thought Nick was fine. I thought the offensive line was – and thanks for the call, Shannon. I thought the offensive line at times was beaten by a four-man pass rush. The Cowboys didn't do anything special. They just played very physical football, and they covered well down the field, and they got to Nick. I thought Nick hung in there and was smart with the football. I mean, Eagles could not convert this first and goal situation from the 6-yard line, that was disappointing. The fourth and goal sneak, not getting into the end zone, again, disappointing. But you're going to have to win some games like that. And the Eagles aren't going to score 45 points offensively and 54 points overall every week. It's just not going to happen. And for the people who thought that the Eagles would blow out the Cowboys, it doesn't happen that way. That was a playoff game last night. The Cowboys, I give them credit. They played hard, aggressive, physical football. Let's go to Texas and talk to Thomas, who joins us here. Hey, Thomas.
Good morning. Great Eagles morning, baby.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, great, great day in the state of Texas, man. I love how we pulled it out last night. Tough game. I figured it'd be a little tough, but that's just division rivals. We play each other tough. But
yeah, Cowboys defense has done a really good job on this Eagles offense. That'll be an interesting off-season challenge for Chip Kelly and the offensive coaches, figuring out, well, how come the offense roars against these other teams and the Dallas Cowboys, who have been so poor against most of the league? How come they've played their two best games against this offense?
I agree, but I've got confidence in our coaching
sure.
staff. I believe we'll be able to get the question answered this offseason.
I agree.
Just put together good quality coaches all across the board. I love our effort.
Yep, and that's what Chip said all along. He said if his team plays hard, which he thinks they will, and they do, I think that he keeps saying, look, play hard. You got to win a lot of football games. And that's exactly what the Eagles have done. They have played really hard football. And I still think there's a lot in this emotional tank. They know that the task is not complete. They know that the goal was not to make the playoffs. Now begins time to really assert yourself as a premier team in this league. And the Eagles will find that out on Saturday night against the New Orleans Saints. Saints are outstanding offensively. They've been good at times defensively. We take a look at some of the numbers here. But you see, this offense for the New Orleans Saints is strong. Maybe not as strong as it has been at certain times, but you look at that third down percentage, you look at that time of possession, you look at the points scored, they do a really nice job. And Drew Brees is experienced and has had a lot of success in the postseason. Let's talk to Scott in Arizona, who joins us. Hey, Scott.
Hey, David. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks. How are you?
Oh, it's been a long time. I'm great. Dallas games are just immensely stressful to begin with, but then you put the division on the line. It's I barely got through it.
Yeah, it was definitely a stressor last night.
This defense continues to be very opportunistic. I mean, I don't think it's a great defense by any means, but their ability to find a way to turn the ball over and give this offense a chance to get the ball back has really made a difference, in my opinion, in this last 8-game run that they've been on. The defense just continues to come up with big plays when they need it. And, they're going to have to do more of the same in the playoffs, I think. I mean, you're going to talk about going against somebody like Drew Brees, and it's going to be more of the same, finding a way to make those turnovers at critical times to give themselves a chance to get back and score more points, because
you're
going to have to outscore teams.
Yep.
It's just...
Hey, the formula, and thanks, Scott, for the call. The formula in the playoffs, run the football, score touchdowns in the red zone, win the turnover battle. It doesn't change. It's certainly the stakes are obviously much, much higher for the Eagles. We'll take some more phone calls on the other side. Chip Kelly coming up in just a short period of time here. Eagles Live, the name of the show, as we roll to the playoffs. The Eagles 24, the Cowboys 22. The Eagles win the NFC East, and now it's on to Saturday night. And the New Orleans Saints coming to Lincoln Financial Field tomorrow. We're going to start looking in depth at the Saints and put this Cowboys game in the rearview mirror. We'll be joined by Adam Kaplan from ESPN and talk about the Saints, get their injury situation updated, and find out what do you do against Drew Brees and that Saints offense. More calls on the other side. It's Eagles Live. We're coming right back.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 match fix chances, 5 cash backs, 4 big 4 free daily numbers, 2 Mega Millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
These days you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here, Eagles Live. And we'll hear from Chip Kelly in just a few moments. And the Eagles, I think, emerging pretty unscathed from the game in terms of injuries. Earl Wolf is obviously the big question. He was inactive last night. Can the Eagles get him back on the field for a Saints team that likes to attack the middle of the field in the passing game? What do the Eagles do with Jimmy Graham, Marcus Colston, all these big play wide receivers and tight ends that the Saints spread out and just pick defenses apart? All right, let's go to Paul in Maryland, our big winner, Paul. Paul, you picked the Eagles. You picked the Eagles to win 34-20. You have won a piece of autographed Eagles merchandise. So give me a call. I'm going to give you the phone number right now, 215-463-2500, and leave your mailing information, your phone number, all that, and we'll get in touch with you.
463-2500.
And congratulations.
Okay. I appreciate it, Dave. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you.
Hey, listen, brother, I just want to say, man, that was a great team win. I lost my voice and screaming at the TV.
Huh.
Jason Avant's catch, the interception, Connor Baldwin, that block, man, where he took the pass. That was a great all-around team victory. Nick Foles played a good game. Once again, he did not turn the ball over. But, Dave, just let me say this.
Well, he did. He did turn the ball over. He fumbled.
Well, I mean, well, he fumbled, but, I mean, overall, throughout the season, he's been great with that. Just let me say, Dave, I believe I heard that we are 17-2 when McCoy runs the ball 20 times or more or 25 times or more. Is that a true stat? I mean, I don't know if that's,
I don't know.
That's true or not. Okay. Well, my whole point is, if Deshaun McCoy runs this ball at least 25 times a game, Dave, I think we're going to the NFC Championship.
You know, I think every single team, every single running back, I've seen that stat. I saw it with DeMarco Murray that when he carries 20 times or more, the Cowboys have a great record. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you run the football, it generally means that the scoreboard is kind of in your favor, right? So
I think running the football opens up the pass. But I think sometimes we try to let the pass open up the run.
I think the Eagles had the highest percentage of running plays in the league this year. I mean, I'm not sure what you mean. I
just want you riding the horse. That's all I'm saying. Let's
yeah. Well, I,
the
oh horse. Yeah. Oh, well, they will. Don't worry about that. They're not. LeSean McCoy is not going to go
away. Off the field.
This is not going to be.
Breeze off the field.
This is not going to be. And thanks for the call, Paul. This is not going to be the 2003 playoffs when the Eagles basically forgot about Deuce Staley. Okay. This is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles running the football. Trying to gash teams. Now, when they went downhill last night, they had much more success than when they tried to go wide. The Cowboys, again, I give the Cowboys credit. They played really aggressive defense. They stacked the box. They covered man outside. They had that single high safety, and they brought the pass rush pressure. It wasn't like there were a lot of receivers open down the field. Nick Foles got pressure. He wisely held onto the football, and the Dallas Cowboys just didn't give a lot of room. The big plays the Eagles made down the field enough, though, to win the game. And that is all that matters. All right, let's keep the phone calls coming. Let's go to Virginia and talk to Tom, who joins us. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
All right.
What's up?
Hey, I got a question.
Yeah.
You know these plays that we're running with Brad Smith?
Yeah.
Why don't we try something like that with Michael Vick?
I don't know. It didn't work with Brad Smith too well. He tried to throw back to Nick Foles, and then they rolled Brad to the right side. I don't know. That's a question you'd have to ask Chip, and perhaps he will be asked that question today.
All right, I appreciate that.
You got it. I guess maybe the one thing, you know, Michael's not warm on the sidelines. Thanks for the call. He's not warming on the sidelines. Would it be a tip-off if he goes and starts warming up? I don't know what the Eagles have in their playbook for Michael Vick. I know that generally those plays that they have run with Brad Smith inside the 10-yard line, I think it's been two times this year, neither has worked. And there's something to be said for the breaking up of the continuity of a drive. And I thought last night, first and goal at the 6-yard line, Eagles are rolling, Brad Smith comes in, that play doesn't work, and then the Eagles obviously ultimately on fourth down unable to punch it into the end zone. Let's go to Vegas and talk to Jimmy, who joins us here. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I couldn't be better. What a way to win the East. What a great venue in Jerry's World to do it where the star lives, to watch our guys with the ebb and flow of a playoff game. I mean, just spectacular stuff. Hats off to Ertz and all the rookies. I think they all set up Kendricks. What a great display of team effort. I'm so proud to be an Eagles fan. And I'll tell you, Dave, I invite Eagles Nation to reach out to all of our Cowboy brethren and offer them a hand up onto the bandwagon of the Eagles. Because everyone, as they drop off, chooses another team. And I thought they were stout yesterday.
Yeah, Cowboys played a great game.
They took who they had, plugged them in, and were competitive. Just great stuff.
Yeah, they were. Thanks for the call, Jimmy. They were really physical. I mean, Kyle Orton, now I expected him to be off a little bit, and he was. He threw it behind a couple of receivers. It cost him on the interception that Michael Kendricks made. It cost him on the Brandon Boykin interception as well. But he gets rid of the football so fast that the Eagles' pass rush just didn't have a chance. So, you know, Jason Witten was targeted, you know, 16 times. I mean, it was just what you expected, and he was very efficient with the football. However, the turnovers at the end of the game really costing the Dallas Cowboys. Let's go to Gary in Southwest Florida, who joins us in Eagles Live. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Gary.
Oh, happy day.
Yes, indeedy. How are you, buddy?
It's a happy Eagles day. Hey, you know what? Last night, I couldn't help, you know, enjoying the heck out of that. So I went and got myself a bottle of B&B out of the closet. Huh. And my wife and I toasted. We said, hey, B&B, Barwin, and Boykin. They're the killer bees, Dave.
Well, they've certainly made a bunch of plays. You know, there's just something to be said for players who have that knack for being around the football. And Connor Barwin leads the NFL, I think, with 7 passes defensed. Michael Kendricks leads the NFL with 4 fumble recoveries. Brandon Boykin has 6 interceptions. That's second to Richard Sherman in the NFL for a slot cornerback. For a slot cornerback. I mean, that's huge. And the Eagles have certainly not – they are not a finished product on defense. But, boy, do they play hard. They play together, and they go get the football.
It's been enjoyable. I have no fingernails.
Well, I don't think anybody – would you have preferred, honestly, Gary, going through what you went through last night or having clinched it the week before?
I don't know. I like these. You know, these are highly energetic games here. But, you know, I'm waiting for somebody to keel over on the sideline.
Well, I think everybody's really enjoying it. And it's a young team learning to win tough games, which is, in the big picture, going to help this team immeasurably.
This is the greatest, Dave.
Yes, it is, Gary. Hey, happy new year, and let's talk during the week. I want to get a prediction from you later on.
Okay, take care.
All right, thank you. All right, we come back from break. We will hear from Chip Kelly. We'll take a phone call or two before then. But the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, check that, the NFC East division-winning Philadelphia Eagles. He'll meet the media at about 1 o'clock. We'll have it for you live here between now and then. We take some phone calls from a happy, happy world of Eagles fans. We are coming right back on Eagles Live.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Today is the first time in a long time we go surfing while well-rested. Time for some 6 a.m. Dunkin' Coffee. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Coffee, brewed to perfection for the rich, smooth taste you love. Share your story. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Chip Kelly coming in just a few moments. Let's get to some phone calls while we can. And we have to usher in this man with great care and consideration and understanding that he is about to blow out your eardrums. Let's bring him in, Zompy, the Zompster, Zompola. Zomp from New York. How are you, buddy?
How about those birds, baby? Yeah. NFC East champs, my brother.
How you feeling this morning?
We did it, man. We did it, man. I'm exhausted but happy, man. Didn't go to bed till late like everybody else. But, man, let me tell you, man, I'm on cloud nine right now, my brother.
Yeah. So tell me. Tell me. I know that. Tell me more.
What can I say, man? Watching that game, I was all over the place. At 1 minute, I'm like, oh, my God, we're going to lose this game 25-24. Then another minute, I'm like, we're up 10-0. I said, oh, maybe we're going to blow these guys out. It was just a mix of emotions, man. I was all over the place last night, and I'm sure every Eagles fan is. I'm not that type to wait till the last minute to see what's going to go on, but this team fights till the end. I want to discuss two things. First of all, that 4th-and-1, I think it was the right decision to go for it. I just think it was the wrong play call. I wanted to know what your thoughts were on that.
I think it was the right decision, and I have no problem with the play call. I have a problem with the execution of the play call. This is, again, a 4th-and-1 inches situation that the Eagles did not convert, and that's disappointing.
Right. Okay. I agree with that, the execution. I mean, I would have given it to Shady, but I understand. And the all-out blitz. I like the play call. You know, make Kyle Orton make the right read, you know, the hot read or whatever. But in my opinion, it's just me. I would have had Chung blitzing and have either one of the corners, like Boykin, instead of him blitzing, be on Dez Bryant.
Fair enough. I hear you. And, you know, they actually started using Patrick Chung in slot situations in the preseason. So kind of saw this coming. And he was in position to make the tackle short of the first down, missed the tackle, and Dez Bryant scores the touchdown. So I like the pressure call. Again, you got to execute the play.
Execute. No, I agree. And Dez Bryant's
and the Cowboys made a very nice counter call, and they isolated Dez Bryant over the middle against a safety, and Orton threw a strike to him.
Agreed. No, he made the right call, and then Dez Bryant is a big dude, so I understand. But you know, I wish
it
would have.
But it was 4th-and-8, I think, right? 4th-and-8, 4th-and-9, and.
But I love it. No, but I loved it. When I saw no safeties cover zero, I loved it. I said, you know what, make them make a play. I loved it. But, yeah. You know, it was in their favor.
And that's,
but,
you know, I actually, Zomp, what's interesting is when I think back to what this season was going to be about and thinking about the defense, thanks for the call.
All right.
I figured the defense was going to have to play a lot like that. High risk, high reward. And they really didn't. And to Bill Davis's credit, he crafts a scheme that has kept the Eagles in games. They've kept 10 of their last 11 opponents under 21 points or less, 21 points or less. And whereas I thought they would have to be more high risk, high reward, force some turnovers, give up some big plays, they really haven't given up a lot of big plays. That one, though, a big play, and that really cost them. All right, let's take a quick one. Brian in Alabama joins us. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you, sir? Welcome to the show.
All right, man. Doing good, man.
Good.
Give a shout out to my MVP for the Eagles. Which nobody talks about, Donnie Jones.
Oh, huge punt. Huge punt. All year.
All year. I mean, it was great. It helped the defense out. He's been doing it all year. He gets some beat, and then they come up with the big play.
Yeah, he sets a franchise record for highest net punting average, third highest gross punting average, over 44 yards. So I agree with you. He's one of the unsung heroes. He has had a phenomenal season.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for the phone call. It really, and, you know, I could go up and down the list on those kinds of players because they are many on this roster who have stepped up, who have made plays at critical times. You could talk about Brandon Boykin, and you can talk about Michael Kendricks, and you can mention Cedric Thornton, and you can certainly consider Brent Celek in that mix. Think back to March and April when the Eagles signed James Casey in free agency, drafted Zach Ertz. Where would Brent Celek fit in? Well, he's fit in as an outstanding blocker and a big-time pass receiver as well. Chip Kelly time. Let's throw it to the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Don't give him any suggestions. We got another day with him.
What's the short week do as far as your scheduling and getting enough training time and all that?
Tomorrow's Wednesday. Wednesday's Thursday. Thursday's Friday. It's Friday, Saturday. Saturday, Sunday. So just subtract a day.
Deshaun's numbers weren't like eye-popping, but he really it seemed like a lot of times he was able to take defenders away from other guys and free guys open. How valuable is that to your offense when you can run him out of the backfield and do stuff like that?
I think anytime part of being a spread offense is you can spread the field, and he certainly warrants the attention that he's getting. He had a couple big first downs for us on a couple shallow cross routes, but the fact that they have to defend everybody is part of kind of the premise of what we do offensively. And when you have a weapon like him on the outside and Riley on the other side, that you have to really, you know, Riley had some big catches for us on dig routes, and those two guys I think complement it. And if your running game is working the way it's working, they're going to single you outside, then you need to make them pay when they're playing you in single coverage, and those guys did a really good job of that.
The first touchdown to McCoy, then when Jackson, Nick fakes to Jackson and he runs to the left, is he an option there at all, or is that just solely to free up McCoy on the flat?
He's the last option.
Okay.
So if you look at this from a big picture on perspective, how did this team get from 3-5 to 10-6?
I think they stuck together as a group, and, you know, one of the things we talk about, and the only thing we talk about is we're mentally and physically tough. We don't make excuses, and we work hard, and then they stuck to that. And I think when you're 3-5 and you have a plan, there's times when you're 3-5 and start to question the plan, and these guys didn't question the plan. You know, I think when we made mistakes, we all made mistakes, but we owned our mistakes, and I think when you own up to your mistakes, then you can correct them. But if you never make them and you constantly make excuses, then you're never going to fix it, you know, and I think these guys owned up to it and did that. And I think each week I saw us improve because of that, and I think because of their mentality. And they stuck together as a group and knew that the only group that was going to get us out of that situation was them, you know. And when you start pointing fingers and doing those other things, it makes it extremely difficult, but they never did that.
Donnie's punt there at the end before Boykin's pick, he's been doing that all year. Specifically that punt, how big was that? And just what you've seen from him all year?
I think he's really underrated, you know, and the thing about this team is it is a team, is that, you know, and that victory yesterday I think kind of amplified it. It was offense, defense, and special teams, and that punt was huge for us. And I think Alex Henry, you know, being indoors and getting the ball out of the end zone so that we could, from a kickoff return standpoint, was the same thing. But I think Donnie all year long has just – he's been outstanding, and I don't know why he doesn't get enough credit, but it was a – it was the second most impressive punt I saw during the day, because I actually saw him hit the video board in pregame warm-up, so I didn't think that could be done, but he did that too. So, yeah, he hit it.
When you watched the tape, what were some of the reasons in the second half the passing game wasn't maybe as effective as it was early on?
They did a decent job generating a pass rush, and a couple things. And there was a few times down the field we just couldn't get off of some jams, and, you know, it was a combination of the two things. So.
Did they blitz much in the second half?
Or no, they were pretty consistent. Pretty consistent in his approach to what he did, you know, in the first half and the second half was pretty much a consistent model from what he was using.
On the plays where Nick had held the ball in some of those situations, were you happy with the decisions he made, or were there times?
No, obviously, but you'd rather take a sack than an interception. He does a good job of protecting the football. And again, it's a combination of their rush and our ability to protect it, but then also our ability to get off of some of the things that were going on downfield.
After Nick fumbled the ball and they had a first down at year 20, to hold them to a field goal right there,
Huge.
Do you see that as kind of like a turning point?
That's a positive, you know, and that's one of the things we talk about, response after turnover. When we give the ball up in the red zone, if our defense can go on the field and hold them to three instead of seven, you know, we think of that as a victory, and I think our defense responded in that situation. Really was a difference in the football game.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously they score a touchdown there, they take the lead, the crowd's going crazy and everything like that. Is that kind of how you saw it?
Yeah, and that's what we need in that situation. You know, we did a kind of an uncharacteristic thing for us in turning the ball over. But now it's not, again, I've always said response after turnover is a huge thing. The response after the turnover from a defensive standpoint is to go out and hold them to three, not seven. And that's what they did.
When you were an outsider looking in at the NFL playoffs, were you ever amazed at who the last team standing was? It's been a long time since the best team in this league in the regular season has won the Super Bowl. Were you ever amazed at who was left standing at the end of that whole thing?
I've never really looked at it when I was in college. So, you know, I mean, we watched the games and we had time if we weren't having recruiting weekends and things like that. But I was never really studied it. So,
your pass rush, are you happy with where they are? It seems like they had some great games and some games where they just haven't gotten there.
It just depends on who you're playing. You know, and I think a lot of times when they're getting the ball out as fast as they're getting the ball out. But, you know, if they're getting the ball out and it's for a 2 or 3 yard gain and we're tackling them, then, you know, obviously you're forcing them to get the ball out quickly. But then we're rallying up and making a tackle, then, you know, I think it's working. You know, if we're not getting to them and they're getting big chunks down the field, then I think that becomes a bigger issue.
Well, season long, you talked about going week to week and, you know, focusing on 1 week. But now that you're actually playing football in January as a first-year head coach, how does it feel?
I played football in January in college.
I mean in the NFL.
Back four straight years in a row we did.
In the NFL, how does it feel, you know,
it's
for
the same.
You guys as a group and for you?
It doesn't feel any different. I mean, it's the same. And I think that's the good thing about our group and our staff is we've had the same mindset for a long time now is that it's a weekly basis. Our week doesn't change. The only thing it is we're a week, we're a day short. So, you know, our Tuesday is a Wednesday, and that's the only real adjustment we made. So, but it shouldn't feel any different. I think you have to change. You can't be like, oh my God, we're in the playoffs now. We got to do this. You know, I think that's really not our mindset. You know, it's we got a really really good Saints team coming in here. We got to prepare the heck out of our guys and get ready to play a big game on Saturday night.
I know you have another game that you're preparing for, but have you even had a moment to kind of reflect on what this team has already accomplished, just making the playoffs after what they went through last year?
No, I mean, that's not how we're built or wired. You know, it's what's the next challenge and what's the next opportunity. And the great thing about where we are right now is if you win, you get to play again. So, you know, I think if you get caught up looking back at what happened or where you were, I think that's just not how we're wired.
What are some of the things you guys did last night that you definitely cannot do on Saturday if you want to continue to advance?
Fumble the ball.
It seemed like the Cowboys are having a lot of success their passing game, stuff underneath. Now, was that a product of you guys just allowing them to have that because you didn't want to get beat deep, or were they taking advantage of the blitz?
It depends on the situation, so I'd have to answer a specific play, what we were in, what we were trying to do, what was the deal on that, you know, so. I mean, there's not – I know you asked the question the way you did it, but I can't give you one answer. It could have been on one route. We were, you know, we were blitzing and we missed on a crosser. There was, you know, it could have been another one. We were just playing zone and letting the ball be thrown in front of us. So there's a lot of different instances in terms of when that happened.
It seemed like a combination of things. I'm just wondering, is that a concern that there was a – seemed like a lot of
I thought overall
there.
Our defense played really well.
Just a follow-up to the short.
Whitten caught 12 passes.
Yeah,
you have Jimmy Graham coming up this week.
Yeah.
How does that bode for him? Are you going to have to look at what you can do there?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously you got to look at where you are and how you match up with people. But, you know, the first game we played him, Whitten caught one pass, I think. So credit to him, though. I mean, he's as good a tight end as ever played. You know, and obviously we know the challenge coming in with Jimmy Graham coming in here is that you got another huge challenge for you. But I'm confident in Billy and our defensive staff will have a plan together for him.
I know you guys are focused on business and the week to week, but if you step back, you're able to get the sense of what it means to the fans, the franchise, to just be back in the playoffs after not making it for a couple of years.
Yeah, I wasn't here before, so I know how excited the fans are. There were some people that came out to the airport last night, and we came right from the airport to work. So when I drove in here at 4:30, there were some people up front. So I think it's awesome. I think it's and the best way we can pay them back is we get an opportunity to play a home game in front of them. You know, we get a shot of playing again in front of our crowd. They were awesome when we played the Bears. They were unbelievable when we played the Lions. So I think that'll be a fun thing for all of us, getting a chance to get back in front of the link and get in front of our fans.
As a follow-up to the short
guys who've been here as long as Selick, Vaughn, Cole, Perriman, they've talked about, you know, as they've gotten older, you know, would they ever get that chance to be back in the playoffs again? They were there a lot. Did you sense anything from them in this week leading up or just to that game, watching them? Were they asserting themselves more? Anything from them that you could tell?
No, I mean, the one thing about them is they're just so meticulous in their preparation every week that's why they've been around so long, that it's not, hey, I'm getting towards the end of my career now, I really got to concentrate. Is if that's the case for you, you probably wouldn't have a long career. But I think, you know, I just think that the game Jason played last night was outstanding. The catch he made, you know, how integral he was to our run game again. You're really bothering me right now. This is just kind of aggravating. Can we just slide a little bit? It wasn't you. Relax. I wasn't talking to you. We can take a million pictures afterwards. I keep trying to answer questions, and I'm sorry. You know, it's just how integral Jason was to us and what he did, and did an unbelievable job in the run game for us last night. And I don't think that goes underappreciated. But that catch he had, you know, down the sideline was huge for us. The diving catch that Brent made, you know, I think, you know, when you got guys like that are the veterans of your group, and they're doing that stuff in games and big time, making big time plays, you know, I think that bodes well for your team. So.
Is it rare that you didn't have to, you came in, you didn't have to, you know, totally rework a team that only won four games, and they all bought in? You know, for a new coach, sometimes that doesn't happen. I mean, they all bought into what you were selling, and this is, these are the same guys that, you know, lost the past 2 years a mm-hmm. lot. Is that a rare thing for a group like this?
I understand the question. I don't know. I mean, it's only the first time I've ever done it, so we're one for one, so.
I mean, does it seem like that they have some sort of quality that it doesn't happen that often in the NFL that it's that great a tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. And I think, and I said it to those guys last night after the game, but it was evident to me on April 1st when I got here with these guys and got a chance to be with them for the first day that they were – kind of the mindset, whatever it takes, what do you want us to do and where do we got to be and how are we going to do it? And I think that's a credit to them. And that's why we are where we are, because they're the ones that play. They're the ones that go out there every single day. They're the ones that train. They're the ones that have done everything as a staff that we've asked them to do. You know, the results are everything that they put into it. And that's the great thing about this game, is that you can't fake football. You know, you get out of it exactly what you put into it. And these guys have put in an unbelievable effort, and it's paying off for them on the field.
Chip, as a follow-up to the schedule question, there's a reason the players say that the Tuesday is the Tuesday and the Saturday is the Saturday. So how do you compensate for that? When?
You don't. I mean, it's how the cards are drawn. We get off the field, they told us we're playing Saturday. We can't call a timeout and say, you know, we need an extra day. You know, but it's the team you're playing is in the same exact situation, so no one gains an advantage from it. It's just like, you know, the Tuesday is the Tuesday, the Wednesday is the Wednesday, except if you play a game on Thursday. You know what I mean? So we have a plan for a short week. We have a plan for a long week. We have a plan for a bye week. We have a plan for – so we had a plan in place. We knew there was a chance we were going to play on Saturday. If there's a chance we're going to play on Saturday, then we're going to play.
In San Diego and the Kansas City games, did you take anything away from those weeks in terms of the day-to-day?
I'm confused.
Both short weeks, San Diego and Kansas City. Did you
yeah.
take?
We condensed the schedule in those weeks.
Do you have any advantage because you guys have practice on Tuesdays – the entire season and the team that you're playing has not?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how Sean does it down there, so I don't look at that or think of that. So
it seems like Michael Kendricks has taken a step forward the last couple of weeks. Is he doing anything differently?
No. I mean, I think Michael's played really well all year long, and I think sometimes the ball bounces your way in certain times, but he's come up with some critical turnovers for us this season at junctures where we really needed it, and that's you know, what we kind of learned as a group to expect out of Michael is I think he's really developing as a football player, and you know, played really well last night. So.
Is there an art to quarterback grounding the ball at a player's feet so he can avoid a sack? Nick did it a number of times last night. One time it seemed was kind of close when he got called for grounding there, but what's involved in that for a quarterback to make that quick decision?
I don't know if it's an art, but I mean, I know Billy works on it with those guys in terms of, you know, you just don't want to make a bad play worse, and if for one reason or another they've got the right answer for it defensively, sometimes the best play is you'd rather be second and 10 than to take a sack and be second and 18, and sometimes, you know, your best option is the throwaway, and you know, it's something we work on, and we'll continue to drill with them. And those are what the really, really good quarterbacks do. I mean, it's one of the things that I think Peyton Manning is very underrated from that standpoint, is what a great job he does if the play's not there, where he just throws it away and then plays the next snap and immediately moves on to the next play. So
if you look at Patrick Chung.
The offense was out of sync
for a long stretch in the second half last night. Is there anything after you watch that you'd say, this is why, if you're watching the tape?
Not in general. I mean, there's specific on instances, you know, tackle may have stepped in the wrong direction, back didn't hit the hole at the right time, you know, receiver didn't get off the jam properly. You know, there's not one thing that if that, aha, fix it, and then we'll move on. It was, you know, just a combination of not all 11 guys clicking at the same time.
Is any of that due to, I mean, it was a loud crowd in there last night, and that's a huge place. Was any of it due to that?
No, we didn't have any sound issues at all. I mean, we didn't have any false start issues or anything like that. So,
if you look at Patrick,
watching the tape, Nick's performance, he took 5 sacks. Were guys just not getting open off the line? Was he holding it too long?
Combination of both, you know. Depends on which play you're talking about. Sometimes there was a guy open. He probably could have got out of his hand a little quicker. There were some other times when he's waiting for guys to come open, but they didn't come off of the jam. And, you know, we got caught once in the first or second play of the second half with a blitz that LeSean got stuck inside, running into the twist on the D-line, but didn't come off on the linebacker. So, a combination.
When you look at Patrick Chung, what's your assessment of his performance in these past few weeks?
I think Pat's done some good things. There's some plays he probably wants to do a little bit better, but I think Pat's done some really good things for us.
When you look at the NFC playoffs this weekend, both of the home teams have a worse record than the wild card teams that you're playing. I mean, do you think it's a good thing that, like, the NFL rewards winning the division more so than having more wins in the season?
I don't care. I'm just happy that we're home, so.
The Saints are viewed as almost like two different teams on the road and at home, 8-0 at home, 3-5 on the road.
Yeah.
How do you look at that?
Tampa Bay couldn't win a game in cold weather until they came in here and did it, so we're not going to get really caught up in that one, I can tell you that.
How close is Wolfie to going on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't get into close. He either goes or doesn't go, so they said he couldn't go, he couldn't go.
Chip, what is the challenge with New Orleans and Drew Brees? Obviously, their offense, they do a lot of things, and that's probably fun to kind of watch that a little bit. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, the challenge is Drew Brees. I mean, he's just so talented and has such a great command of what they're doing is that, you know, he can go from, you know, you got 5 guys in a progression, he can go from 1 to 5 like that, you know, and he understands coverage, he understands how you're playing them. Very, very difficult to fool, you know, and he's been around for such a long time. It's a lot like the matchup when you play Peyton Manning is that, you know, they are so skilled in their offense and what they're doing. Is that, you know, you got to present a lot of different looks to him. And he's got a lot of weapons to throw, too. You know, and I think that's what makes them so diverse is that you just can't hone in and say, hey, we take away this one guy, and we're going to be in pretty good shape because there's so many different weapons there. And you got a guy that makes all 5 weapons available to him. So I think that's going to be a huge challenge for us on the defensive side of the ball.
Does that help neutralize that? I mean, they're really good at home, the Saints on the road. Can crowd noise kind of disrupt the room?
I don't know.
Does it seem like that at all?
Not when you have a guy, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback like them. I don't think that part really weighs into it with him.
Chip, you talked about you'll give up the short passes as long as you tackle one. You guys have tackled really well, I think, most of the year. Was yesterday maybe not up to the level, do you think, as far as tackling? Or
yeah, we missed a couple, you know, but you're talking some big, strong guys, you know, and I think that's a combination. There's not many receivers that you're going to face that are like Dez, you know, and sometimes – I don't think people don't like to say, hey, but you got to give the other guys credit too. I mean, he's a tough, physical wide receiver that's very, very difficult to take down in a one-on-one situation.
Hey, Chip, the high school in Austin, Texas, that produced Drew and Nick. Going back to your college recruiting days, were you familiar with that program? The coaches?
Yeah, outstanding program, and it's, you know, one of the top ones in Texas. So I'm familiar with it, but we never recruited anybody. We were never involved with anybody out of there, and so. I mean, I think I was at New Hampshire when Drew was coming out. I don't think New Hampshire was on his wish list at that point in time. So,
you have a few rookies playing key roles down the stretch for you here. And how are they holding up? And what's the challenge of keeping them kind of mentally fresh as well as physically as they get to this point in the year?
I think physically they're fine. You know, our guys do a great job in the training room and in the weight room of monitoring those guys in terms of where they are. And I think for those guys, it's just, you know, it's for some of those guys, you know, we've played 20 games now when you count the 4 preseason games. So, but I've been really impressed, especially with Lane and Zach and Benny, you know, of how they've, you know, not really acted like rookies. You know, I think they've kind of fallen into that role. I think, you know, 20 games in there, the reality is 20 games in, they're not rookies any longer, you know. So I think those 3 guys specifically have really held up pretty well.
What does it give you
when you can bring a fresh Bryson at the end of a game or Polk and
just give a defense a different look, a different, you know, fresh legs. And
yeah.
I think he came in right then. He hadn't had a carry. He went five and then got to five for a first down and then the touchdown. Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, LeSean is our back. But when you have Chris that can spell him and then Bryce, you know, and for me as the play caller, it doesn't change. Like, oh, he's in the game. I can't call this. It's we don't miss a beat with what we do, you know. And I think, you know, LeSean's had a lot of carries. I think he's, you know, he's got a lot of touches. And but the ability to bring those two guys in to spell him when it's time, I think especially as a play caller, it's really comforting to know that, oh, he's in. I can't call this, you know. And I've been in situations like that. Well, who's in the game? All right, now what are we going to do? We got to kind of adjust our approach. So, you know, that last drive specifically, you could tell from being on the field that they were gassed, and we needed to kind of put the foot to the floor in that situation. And, you know, the fact that Bryce was in there was of no decision of, hey, we can't run this play, can't run that play, can run any play, we can run with LeSean in there.
James Casey had a key block on Bryce's touchdown run. I think he had more snaps again than Ertz, because I guess you're running the ball more. Mm-hmm. His blocking, why is that so valuable when you guys do run out of those two tight end sets?
He's been huge for us, you know, and I think Case, and we felt that all along, and I think, you know, having three tight ends that are as versatile as they are, they're kind of all different. And in the ideal world, that's what we wanted. You know, I think you don't want three guys that are exactly the same. You know, I think you can do a lot of different things with the three of them. But I think what James has added to us, especially here down the stretch, you know, we know in December and now going into January, you're going to have to run the football. I think James has been a big part of that. So,
thanks,
guys.
All right, that is head coach Chip Kelly ready to go against the New Orleans Saints on Saturday night. Should be a thriller at Lincoln Financial Field. We've got you covered all week long here. Eagles Live returns tomorrow at noon. Adam Kaplan from ESPN joins me. We still have some time today because when the Eagles win, you win. We've been saying it all year, so if you haven't downloaded the Dunkin' Donuts mobile app, you are just crazy. Download it now. Get yourselves to a participating Dunkin' Donuts in the Philadelphia area and receive a free medium hot coffee or a 24-ounce iced coffee the day after an Eagles win. That's today. When the Eagles win, you win. And reminder, tomorrow we've got your Pro Shop gear all ready to go. The NFC East Championship gear is ready. Make your order starting tomorrow. Also tomorrow at noon, tickets go on sale for the playoff game. That is on Ticketmaster.com. Tomorrow we'll have Eagles Live for you again at noon. And we haven't seen the media schedule yet, but we believe that the coordinators will speak at 11:25. So just stay with us. We'll have you. And if you do not belong to our or follow our Twitter account at Eagles Shows, you're missing out on our schedule of goodies that we have planned for you this week, as well as the opportunity to win some very cool autographed Eagles merchandise. Now, we've asked you during the weekend here to send us some videos. We got a bunch of them. What are you doing during the games? How do you feel about the Eagles? For this upcoming week, send us a video on Instagram or on Twitter with the hashtag FlyEaglesFly. We've got a bunch from yesterday. The win against the Cowboys, some fans from around the country and even beyond that checking in on their beloved Eagles.
Jonell said, if Dallas lose to the Eagles, we burn his hat.
Is you mad or no?
Let it burn.
So far this year, I want to thank Nick Foles, Chip Kelly, and LeSean McCoy more than anybody. Bird Gang, stand up!
Y'all want to hear that Cowboy anthem? NFC East champs!
My reaction when Philly goes to the playoffs.
Yeah!